Okay, I'd like to call order the June, what day is today?
11th.
June 11th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Deer Parade Commission. Could the director please take the role to establish a quorum?
Yes, Rick Byfield.
I'm present.
Cynthia Stewart.
Here.
Stephen Bergeron is absent. So we have two members constituting a quorum.
Great. We'll start out with old business, and the applicant is present. So we have the report for 730 St. Peter Street, please.
Sure. 730 St. Peter is a blue-rated main building and service building. This is a review of construction document details, including rail extension, millwork, and lighting. For application materials received November 30th, 2022, and May 24th, 2024, respectively. On sheet A204, the courtyard walls are shown increased in height from 14 foot 4 by another 4 foot 4.5 to a total height of 18 foot 8.5. Staff assumes this added masonry is being proposed to bring the irregular wall to a uniform height, but it is not allowed per the CZO, which limits fence height to 8 feet. If a variance were to be sought, staff would want to see additional structural details, including exploratory demolition, to investigate the portable footing to confirm that the wall can handle the weight of additional brick. A permit for this work would also be needed for the neighboring property at 726, since the wall is shared. A112 and 151, six bevelo French quarter half-light flush decorative fixtures are shown added to the courtyard wall between 726 and 730. It is not noted if these fixtures would be electric or gas, but the guidelines for decorative fixtures are the same either way. Per the guidelines for lighting, decorative lighting must be compatible with the building in terms of its style, type, and period of construction, limited in number to avoid cluttered appearance, located near a focal point of the building, such as the primary entrance door, installed in a manner that is harmonious with the building's design, such as evenly spaced on a balcony, gallery, or porch bay, or centered on or around an element such as a door, carriageway, or window, scaled appropriately for the proposed location, and constructed materials appropriate to the building's period. Courtyard fence installations such as this are routinely denied by the committee in favor of non-decorative fixtures. If the applicant is concerned that the courtyard may be inadequately lit, a thorough lighting study should be undertaken. Non-decorative fixtures could be found approvable in the proposed locations. Also on A201 and 316, plans, elevations, and sections have been provided for the proposed rail extension behind the historic second floor balcony at the front elevation. When last reviewed, there was discussion about whether the existing historic rail would need to be modified or if it could be found satisfactory through BDSA review or IEDC compliance. The applicant has not addressed since the October meeting, so staff is unsure of the status of the historic rail. The new 42-inch tall rail is not attached to the historic rail and is structurally supported via a quarter-inch L-angle anchor plate secured to the purlin behind the fascia with four lag screws in each plate. The new rail's members are noted as 1-inch square. The detailing and attachment of the rail appear to be the same as what was approved next door at 726 St. Peter. Staff notes that the additional rail must be painted to match the building to minimize visibility. On A080 and 201, the millwork in door 108 has been designed to facilitate service between the courtyard and the restaurant kitchen with millwork that resembles French doors and a fan-like transom above. Louvered shutters are proposed and fixed wooden panels below with casement windows above to allow service through. Staff does not find the design objectionable, but notes that this masonry opening was previously a passageway through the service aisle to the adjacent property on Bourbon, and it did not historically include millwork. As such, staff seeks the guidance of the committee whether it would be more appropriate for the millwork in this particular opening to be distinctly different rather than appearing or attempting to blend with other historic millwork service aisle. When last reviewed, door 107 was presented as a set of 8-light French doors with single panels below. It is now shown as a single 8-light door with a narrower 8-light side light, which is extremely atypical for historic millwork. Staff suggests the asymmetrical width of the millwork to be exacerbated by the proportion and number of lights, and suggests that a beaded board door with a fixed side panel may draw less attention to the uneven width. Since the bathrooms are located behind this opening, a solid door is not inappropriate for the program. Overall, staff recommends deferral of the additional wall height in case zoning finds it approvable to make the height consistent, denial of the decorative fixtures with non-decorative options to be proposed instead, approval of the rail extension. Mm-hmm. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the millwork and openings 107 and 108.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to make a presentation or response to the staff report, please?
So Andrew Stevens with John Williams Architects, 824 Vernon Street.
John Williams with John Williams Architects.
So appreciate the staff report. Just to start kind of on the the last items, and we can go kind of forward. On booth, the door 107, we're very amenable to take the staff's recommendation to modify that door to be a solid panel door with a beaded board, kind of panel design. We think that's amenable based on the program.
42?
Scroll back to the courtyard elevation.
There you go.
Yep. So the door on the left there, the bottom left, left side, we're amenable to make those modifications. I think that's a perfectly suitable, appropriate update. And then on the door 108, would be good to get some feedback. We tried to make that, a millwork design that would be amenable to that, kind of unique opening on the first floor. We are amenable to make that a fully operable door. We put a design together that allows for that to be a service entrance on the top for pass-through of restaurant-related dishes and elements, but, we're open to suggestions on that opening as well.
And we are in the midst of going through a restaurant occupancy, the kitchen, basically, through most of this L, with trash storage and bathroom. We're in the schematic stages of that. So the things that we're asking for and willing to accept now from the staff is the one restaurant back. So we think these things will transfer to the new restaurant regime that we're going through. But I just want to make sure. And then while you're looking at this photograph, you also see the 4 foot 4 inches of the wall extension. So you'll see where that occurs. See the if you look at the back wall there, you see that little 4 foot 4 extension on the 14 foot 4 inch existing wall.
And that's the tallest point of the existing wall, right? So it's not making it a uniform height. You're actually adding to the tallest portion of the wall?
No, the wall, I think
photograph 20 something. There's a picture of the wall, and I have spoken with the owner of Pat O'Brien.
So that masonry wall currently creates a it jogs up and it creates a termination of the balcony on level 2.
There.
Oh. No, keep going.
Yeah, keep going back more.
Keep
going back. Or there should be one that's looking at the very end of the courtyard that you had earlier, somewhere in there.
There.
Okay. That's it.
So it's kind of hidden by the posts that are coming down, but there is a masonry wall on the right side and the left side, and so we're looking to kind of infill that, and it'll also help stabilize the lack of plumpness of the wall there that is against the 726 preservation by the side.
We call that the library in 726. You see that metal roof? That wall, we've made repairs to it, but it's leaning, and we hope that coming up 4 feet will give it some stability. And it'll also block a little bit more sound of Pat O'Brien's coming over to us and us coming over to Pat O'Brien.
Okay, you want to keep going?
We'll handle kind of the other, I think, lights and the rail extension. So the rail extension, yes, that's still the same design that the AC reviewed a number of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten approval from the state fire marshal with that design. We haven't gotten any comments or issues from safety and permits with regards to that extension that had that additional level of safety to the rail. And we appreciate the staff report that it's an amenable approach for that extension. On the courtyard lights, our proposal for the Bevelo lights is based off of kind of the owner's desire for that type of fixture, although we understand the staff report wanted to find a more simplified fixture, so we're happy to work through a revision of that and come back with an update based on what may be more fitting with the guidelines.
So that's where those lights would go?
Right.
Gas or electric?
Electric, not gas.
It's just that area needs a little bit more light. We didn't want to get it off the historic building, and we're looking to get it off the common wall. So we'd probably be looking to do the same thing on the 726 side. So
Would it be gas or electric?
What we're doing is making a preservation hall that actually is both buildings and they're interconnected. And these are two openings here, but there are also two openings on the interior to make them, you know, musicians can come back and forth. There's going to be a museum on the second and third floor.
Okay. Let's take it in the same order that you presented it. Would you like to talk about millwork first, or do you want me to?
Do we have structural drawings of how this millwork, excuse me, masonry?
We can talk about the masonry. So the staff is suggesting deferral on the parapet extension, mm-hmm. pending, you know, more information about yeah. structural and any kind of variances required by
Are y'all going to take comments from the audience?
We absolutely will, but that will be... Thank you. We will definitely...
Can we still have a speaker card? We have one.
You have what? A card?
Yeah, if you'd like to speak...
Speaker cards are on the table.
Okay, I'll go get one right now.
And then just bring it to me, and then I'll know that you want to speak. Okay, so the masonry wall, are you able to get some additional information about structure and initiate discussions about VBSA?
Sure, yes. We'll both of those, and we'll definitely provide updated structural detailing and a report. The structural engineer and will reach out to zoning and get to CC the BCC staff and try to get some feedback on this particular item.
Okay, great. For millwork, I tend to be in agreement with staff regarding the changes, and so I think we're aligned on that. Are you?
No, I agree.
Okay. The railing, I think, supports what we've already looked at, and the last idea is the lighting. And again, I'm aligned with the staff in this matter. This is not a location for historic fixtures, and so I think that coming up with something that actually presents or provides light, which is compatible with the use, but doesn't have the suggestion of historic precedent, is what you want to do here. And I'd also suggest that as you make this presentation that you are mindful of where your conduits are going to have to run so that we are aware of what else is happening to this wall in order to provide lighting. And if you wanted some direction from me, I would actually look at the height of the light above grade and, you know, try to think about exactly where you need that light to be, whether it has to be so high above the opening head, or maybe want to come down a little bit just so it's a little bit less prominent on that wall. These are just suggestions, but I would definitely look at the fixture, the spread of light, and, you know, what the functional requirements are for safety and function. Now I'm going to ask for any public comment, and I see we have a comment card from Darlene Levy.
That's
you
me.
Have to speak?
Yeah. I mean, when I look at the picture, I see vents on top of that building that can be seen from the sidewalk, vents and pipes. And I'm wondering why they are allowed to have that.
No, just a second. What are you referring to?
When you showed a picture of the building, let's go back to the original picture of the building, the snapshot of it, no, the photograph. There are pipes at the top of it, at the top of the roof, all on there. You've got pipes.
This is all going away. This is the before picture.
This is a renovation picture.
All that going away?
Yes. This is a before picture. There was a Alibaba, there was a...
But it's still there now, right?
No, yes. So, we've done the demolition. It's gone.
So I think...
Well, you know, I passed by there today. It's still there today.
They're in construction.
It's in construction, exactly.
Yeah.
And so...
This is under construction. This is not a finished product.
Okay, well, you know, how long is that?
It's all the old stuff. Oh, this has been under construction for years.
So
for years it's been under construction.
So
what is the purpose?
What is the comment?
Yeah, what is your comment? I mean,
my comment is if they are allowed to have vents and pipes, I don't see why I'm here today.
Well, we aren't actually discussing mechanical systems today, but I think that the staff has made it clear to you. No, excuse me, let me finish speaking. I think the staff has made it clear to you that this is a project that's under renovation. And that when the work is done, if you find objection to it, you can always bring it back to this commission. But right now, this is a work in progress. You shouldn't judge a work in progress until it's complete. And if you want to get more clarification about what will be involved in the mechanical system, please contact the staff after the meeting, and they can clarify what will be and what will not be there at the completion of the project.
I'll do that.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? I see another public comment. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
Nothing.
Staff, anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
Yes. My question is about the millwork, because we are working on getting most of this work permitted out, and there's going to be just a few things that we plowed as still under review. Mm-hmm. As far as direction for the millwork in 108, that is that passageway.
Yeah.
What I had thought, and let me know if you think this guidance is going in the right direction, is removal of those shutters and then kind of doing something that is very plate glass and minimal, so that it still gives the appearance of being a passageway through rather than historic millwork. Does that kind of sound?
That sounds like a really good direction.
Sounds like an excellent idea.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Do we need to talk about the rail extension?
I don't think so, okay. unless you have
difficulty
with it. Is there, would you like to make a motion? Or do you want me to make a stab at it?
Why don't you make a stab at it?
Okay.
Of 730
St. Peter Street, I move to defer the request to extend the parapet until the applicant is able to provide a structural report and clarification from the Board of Zoning Adjustments as to the zoning requirements for this location. To deny the installation of bevelo fixtures as shown, to approve the railing as designed, and to hold the millwork, to follow the staff recommendations for opening 107, and to allow the staff to work with the applicant for opening 108 to come up with a design that's approvable at staff level. Is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thanks, Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next item is 1234 Charter Street. I note that the staff has asked that this be removed from the agenda.
Yes, we're going to be able to do that at staff level.
Okay, then do I have a motion to remove it from the agenda?
I so move.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye. The project's been removed from the agenda. We'll go to new business now and ask if there's anybody present for 905 Governor Nicholas Street. We have an applicant present. We have the staff report, please.
Sure. 905 Governor Nicholas, a green-rated main building and insert zone. This is a proposal to install a new ridge vent on the main building roof for application of materials received April 9th, 2024 and May 28th, 2024, respectively. The applicant proposes to install a galvanized metal Chinese cap-style ridge vent on the main building. The remainder of the metals already present elsewhere on the roof are also galvanized. Staff finds installation of the vents to be consistent with the design guidelines for rooftop ventilation and recommends approval. The application previously proposed to replace failing metal cap flashing on the main roof, which had been approved for temporary retention in 2018. The applicant is now proposing to install a mortar cap on the main building, which is approvable at staff level. Staff notes that the metal cap flashing on the rear building is also included in the temporary retention and will require replacement with a mortar cap when it reaches the end of its life.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Sure. Daniel Raines, 905 Governor Nicholas Street. And this is a proposal that there's, in our American townhouse, it's really two townhouses combined in one building. And so the adjacent townhouse has a Chinese vent cap that we're going to copy and have fabricated to match for the vent cap for our roof. And for the mortar cap, for replacing this kind of needs to be replaced galvanized metal cap flashing with a mortar cap because of BCC guidelines. And for the rear of the building, we may do that. It looks it's in much better condition currently than the other part of the building, but these houses are old, so it's always updating. So yes, I'm sure it'll be replaced at some point, I don't know, a year, but we're always fixing things.
That's the nature.
So it's always, you know, it's always updating or maintaining things. But when we do update it, it'll be with a mortar cap.
Great. I think installing a gravity vent is a great idea. I can't imagine why we would have any difficulty with that. Is there any public comment on this proposal?
Yeah, me.
Yes. Did you fill out a card?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Please.
I fill it out again.
Yeah, thank you.
I may be commenting on everything today.
Oh, good.
I see a bend in there. I see a bend on the top of the roof.
Would you like me to just address this in globo? Because I think that you're going to find all kinds of things on every roof of every building. And Ms. Levy, I can assure you that we are also, you know, working with all the applicants and all the property owners to bring things into compliance. When things are installed without permits, then we will issue a violation, as you are aware. When things have been there for a very long period of time, they're often grandfathered, they may have been installed before, you know, and there's all kinds of reasons. So if you would like to interrupt the meeting to point out everything that's on every roof throughout the day, feel free to do that. However, the point is, there are an infinite number of explanations. So it might be a better idea to take this PowerPoint presentation and circle everything that you find objectionable, and the staff could then respond and say, this is a violation on this date.
Okay, well, I'm writing it down.
Would that be helpful?
I am writing it down.
Okay, that'd be great.
But I may want to speak.
But I don't know that
okay, so the question,
bringing it up at every, you know, the fact that during this meeting that if there are events and things that you see on every rooftop is going to be productive.
Well, it might be for me.
Okay,
that's your right to do.
Okay, so let's. You have 2 minutes to speak. What do you? What is your objection here?
I see a BIM on there.
Just be more specific, please.
That.
That's not on the property
that's
that we're talking about.
And as per our guidelines.
Yeah, well, that sure looks like what I have on my roof.
That's not at all.
So, ma'am, another point of clarification. We're not talking about your property today or any action that the commission took regarding your property. We're talking about Mr. Rain's property and his request to put a perfectly approvable vent on his roof. So if you do decide to make comment, please don't make a comparison to your property. Let's address the specific issue that's before this committee today, okay? Not your property at all.
Okay, the vent.
I can see that vent from the sidewalk.
Well noted.
Thank you so much. Is there any other public comment? I see no other public comment. Is there a motion in the matter of 7? I can't see my paper.
905 Governor Nichols.
Yes. I
move that we approve the requested gravity vent on the roof of the main building to match the adjacent property.
Thank you.
And
we don't need to do that.
Oh, okay. And that's it.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And thanks for your care of the building as well. 920 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 19920 St. Peter is a green-rated main building and detached service building. Is there a proposal to demolish the existing brick courtyard fence and construct a new CMU fence with brick cladding? Our new concrete grade beam, application materials received May 24th, 2024. Proposed work occurs at the property line shared with the neighboring 922 St. Peter Street, where the applicant proposed to demolish and rebuild a portion of the existing brick wall separating the properties. The portion noted for demolition measures approximately 31 feet and will be reconstructed with salvaged bricks cladding a new CMU core. The proposed CMU blocks measure 4 inches thick, so the reconstructed wall will be approximately the same thickness as the existing. The new wall would be constructed on a new subterranean grade beam. The overall width of the grade beam would be 3 feet. Staff does not believe this grade beam would come near any existing building features or foundations, but seeks confirmation from the applicant that this is the case. The wall would be reconstructed to a height of 8 feet 4 inches to match existing, and should have a finished appearance similar to the existing, given the wall will be clad in salvaged bricks. Staff questions if faux header courses should be incorporated into the wall to match the coursing details of the existing wall. The guidelines note that the VCC does not allow construction of a new wall or piers with exposed concrete block. The new wall or pier must have either a full-size brick or stucco finish. As the proposed wall would be clad in full-size brick and the new concrete footing would be below ground, staff finds the proposed work approvable per the guidelines. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Sure. My name is Antonio Carbone. I'm the owner of 919-920 St. Peter Street, which is one of the properties abutting this wall. Not exactly clear which property it's on, but working with my neighbor on it.
Good. And do you have a response to staff report or a presentation
you'd
like to share?
The foundation of the wall is not within 3 feet of either of the adjacent structures.
Okay. This question of masonry detailing is an interesting one. Did you follow the question about the header course? in the wall.
I don't follow it.
So when a masonry wall goes together, they have running bricks that you see kind of running this way, and then there's every fourth course, usually there's a brick that goes into the wall right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a structural tie so that it holds the wall together. And it's kind of a suggestion that it is brick masonry construction. And so what your mason would have to do is probably cut a brick in half and actually lay those as a header course to suggest, you know, the configuration of the
original
wall.
Necessarily necessary with the CMU, so we have to, like, make the facade look like that?
Is yeah.
Like?
Okay. Well, I have a question. Would we want to do something that sort of makes it something that it is not?
I mean,
if it doesn't have that, it is going to be more indicative of what it honestly is.
New construction.
But I think that the subtlety here, in my mind, is that we're not seeing what the construction of the wall is. It's hidden by the brick veneer.
Well, of course.
And so I would rather have the visual environment reflect traditional technology. We do that quite often with many things where we look for a traditional expression, even though there's more modern technology supporting whatever that expression is. So, this is a matter for some discussion, but.
That's
no, I think it's worth discussing.
That's
I don't.
The discretion of the committee. Absolutely supportive.
Okay, so we are two, and so if you'd like to make a motion, I will follow your lead.
I think it's a worthy discussion. I'm not married to either solution, honestly. So I move that we approve the construction of the new wall as suggested and with staff guidance in the matter of 920 918 920 State Street.
And to include the header course or not?
Let's include the header course.
Okay, I'll second that motion. Actually, I didn't ask for public comment. Is there any public comment? I'm sorry I didn't do that. So would you like to restate the motion?
I can try. In the matter of 918 920 St. Peter Street, I move that we approve the proposed wall, including the header course as suggested.
Okay, I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. And thanks for taking care of your property.
Good to see you.
The next item is 941 St. Philip Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have a staff report, please?
All right, 939-41 St. Philip is a orange-rated main building, a brown-rated garage. This is a proposal to renovate the existing single-story building, including reopening the courtyard and modifications to millwork for application materials received May 28, 2024. This property was last reviewed by the committee on January 31, 2024, as previous application was submitted to demolish the orange-rated main building and brown-rated garage and construct a new two-story building. The applicant has decided not to pursue such an involved project at this time and is now proposing to renovate the existing building. The most significant alterations are the removal of the illegal roof enclosing the courtyard and the new courtyard-facing elevations, which are contemporary in appearance with metal and glass French doors. The roof massing at the orange-rated building will be maintained with an additional 4-foot-wide enclosed hallway with pre-finished metal roof to be added around the Burgundy side of the courtyard. The overall square footage of the courtyard will be slightly reduced beyond its previous footprint to an open space ratio of 0.18. Staff notes that 0.20 is required by the CZO since this is a corner lot, so a variance will be needed. HVAC equipment is shown located on the flat roof at the rear brown-rated garage structure. Two skylights are also proposed for this roof. Calculations and square footage are not provided, but the skylights otherwise appear to meet the criteria listed in Chapter 4 of the design guidelines. The only significant alteration to the street-facing elevations is at the brown-rated infill. The paneled carriageway doors closest to Ursuline are shown to be replaced to match existing, but fixed in place. The paneled doors between the orange-rated building and brown-rated rear will be replaced with a vertical beaded board garage door with a fixed wood transom. Staff finds the proposed alterations to be fairly minimal and in keeping with the design guidelines, with the most significant design concern being the need for a variance from the BZA for the open space. The skylights, rooftop HVAC equipment, and hallway enclosure in the courtyard are the only items requiring commission review. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposed work with the application to be forwarded to the commission, returning to the committee for construction document review following BZA approval.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects, 6238 Algonquin Walks.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to make?
Yes, just briefly, I'm confident about the BZA variance because we're going from zero open space to 0.18, and perhaps it would be worth to bring it up to 0.20 to avoid the variance. So we may do that, but I'm going to talk to Todd Breton to see if we even have to do the variance because of the existing conditions of zero.
Great.
The drawings speak for themselves. I'm here.
If there's
any questions,
Sean
might have.
Do you have any questions for the applicant or for the staff?
It's an interesting place.
I just have to say, to start out, I'm kind of disappointed you didn't get to do the larger project. It was a really cool project.
Yeah, they are too, but the pricing came in exorbitant.
Yeah, I can appreciate
that.
Well, I think that this is one of those ones where the improvement on the property in terms of open space is significant enough that we can make our conceptual approval without guidance from the BZA.
I agree.
And the net improvement on this property is significant.
Significant.
And so, is there any public comment on the proposal for 940 St. Philip Street? I see no public comment. Would you like to say anything else before we go to a motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 941 St. Philip Street?
I move in the matter of 941 St. Philip Street that we give conceptual approval for the proposed design.
To be forwarded to the commission?
To be forwarded to the commission.
Okay. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
We'll move on to 908 through 10 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Okay. Do we have staff report, please?
Sure. 908 St. Peter is a green-rated main building and service building. So they propose to install new tiebacks in the rear building. Application materials received March 10th, 2023 and June 3rd, 2024, respectively. Extensive renovation work has been underway at this property on both the main building and rear building since permits were issued beginning in 2023. During the course of that renovation work on the rear building, it was discovered that the side masonry wall and front wood frame wall were separated. The structural engineer on the project has recommended the installation of three new wall ties to strengthen the connection between the masonry and wood frame wall. One tieback plate would be located just below the existing roof joist. The second plate would be below that at approximately the midpoint of the second floor level. The final plate would be just below the second floor level. All plates are noted as being 12 inches in diameter and 3/4 inches thick. These will be installed on an unfinished brick wall, and staff has typically requested that the plates be painted to blend in with the masonry. Staff finds the proposal fairly typical for tiebacks and recommends approval of the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Jenny West, Studio West, 2340 Dauphine Street, for the architect project.
Bailey Godwin with Studio West.
Great. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to make?
We are in agreement with the staff report for the tiebacks. I appreciate them working with us. We have a structural engineer in his office as well, Jenny Snake, for structural engineering.
Great. Do you have any questions for the applicant?
We have the structural drawings.
They were provided to staff.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are. They're in the packet.
Great. Then I move that we...
Oh, just a second. Is there a public comment, on this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion? Staff, anything to add? Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 908 St. Peter Street?
In the matter of 908-910 St. Peter Street, I move for acceptance of the proposed structural repair.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
It was awfully easy.
We have one more.
Yes. You're the next one?
Apologies for not making the last meeting. This is why we came at once. We have the structural
item
came
up.
Right,
what
side.
Is the next one?
Top of the next.
Okay, I got it.
Yep.
That's why it's listed twice here. So we have the staff report, please.
Sure. Well, this is a proposal to install two new tankless water heaters in the rear elevation of the main building. For application materials received May 14th, 2024. The Architecture Committee previously reviewed the overall renovation of this property, and work has been proceeding with the issued permits. One element that was not included in the previous approval are the now proposed tankless water heaters. These are shown installed in the rear elevation of the main building. The applicant noted that all the associated plumbing for these units would slip out from the wall immediately adjacent to the equipment. The location shown in the plans would not interfere with any existing windows, doors, or shutters, and should be minimally visible. Staff finds the proposal generally in keeping with the recommendations of the guidelines, and staff recommends approval of the proposal with any final details be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Again, would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Jenny West, Studio West, 2340 Delphine Street, architectural project.
Bailey Godwin, Studio West, 2340.
Why are we looking at this twice? This was a separate, are these separate applications?
Yeah, it's a mechanical application and then the...
Okay. The structural came up afterwards.
Got it. Okay. Would you like to say anything before we...
We're in agreement with the staff and appreciate them working with us.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment. Any questions for the applicant?
No.
Yeah, I agree. This is a pretty standard application, and you're going to work with the plumber to make sure we don't have pipes going all over the place.
Correct. We have been, yeah.
Okay, great. Is there a motion in the matter of 908 through 10 St. Peter Plumbing?
In the matter of 908, 910 St. Peter Street, I move for approval of the location of the tankless water heaters.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we'll go to 1200 Decatur Street and ask if there's an applicant present. We do have an applicant present.
All right. We have a staff report. 1200 Decatur Street is a green-rated main building with some brown-rated clear info. Is it proposed to address violations related to missing lintels above window and door openings? Replication materials received September 15, 2023 and May 29, 2024, respectively. This application was last before the committee at the April 9th meeting. So the committee deferred the application and requested that the applicant provide a section details and scholarship on the adjacent buildings or restore photos of this building for determination of the most appropriate treatment. Since that time, staff has visited the site to more closely examine the existing condition, and the applicant has submitted additional information. During the site visit, staff found that no remnants of lintels remain on the French Marketplace side. On the Governor Nichols elevation, staff observed a mix of details, including what appeared to be concrete lintels embedded in masonry, surface-applied stucco, and surface-applied wood. Comparing photographs with the building, it appears the surface-applied wood lintels are recent additions. Given the absences of any remaining visible lintels on the French Marketplace side and the mix of materials on the Governor Nichols side, staff suggested that the applicant might propose leaving the French Marketplace side without any visible lintels. The applicant submitted new materials following the site visit, which included an 1866 plan book drawing, which shows visible lintels on exposed brick. On the Governor Nichols elevation, the applicant notes that the majority of the existing lintels are made from concrete and are load-bearing. The four openings on this elevation closest to French Marketplace, however, do not match these conditions. The applicant proposed two options to address the one opening in this area without any decorative lintel. Option one includes protruding one course of brick above the newer metal lintels and applying stucco to the brick to form a decorative stucco lintel. Option two would again retain the existing metal lintel, remove three quarters of brick over the window, and embed a new wood lintel. At the two second floor openings that have existing applied wood lintels, the applicant proposed applying a color wash stain to the brick above this wood to hopefully blend that masonry in with the adjacent. Currently, the bricks just above the opening are clearly mismatched from the rest of the wall. In the French Marketplace elevation, the applicant proposed to use the same color wash stain to address areas of similarly mismatched masonry to attempt to blend them in better with the existing. A previously painted faux lintel would be stripped from the paint, would be stripped of paint. An area of damaged masonry would be repaired or replaced to match the adjacent masonry. And this elevation is proposed to remain with the thin metal lintels only and not introducing any kind of decorative lintel to attempt to match the previously existing appearance. Staff notes that there are other violations on this property which should all be staff approval, and this issue with the lintels is the one remaining detail to be worked out. Staff request commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
Wow. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Erica Gates, Gates Reservation, representative for the building owner, 226 North Carlton Avenue.
Great. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us?
Just a couple of comments. Following Nick's visit with us on the site, I think we felt really much more confident about kind of taking this building kind of as it is. It is something that's been not only built over a period of time, but also kind of altered in varying ways over various periods of time, so that maybe we kind of originally had discussed, well, should we do plan A or plan B and apply it to the entire building? After he came and visited, I think we were much comfortable with the idea of maybe kind of taking certain facades as they are and kind of embracing the current conditions in some places and then just kind of keeping it consistent, at least appearance on this facade facing Governor Nichols and kind of embracing the
Chaos,
yes. Very good, thank you. In a positive way.
Yes.
Just because of the nature of this building and everything, I think it's a bit of a falsehood to kind of try to keep it consistent when it has had many alterations over time. So we're kind of just looking, mainly with the architecture committee, we are looking kind of for your feedback, particularly on these four windows on the corner of the Governor Nichols side and how we should kind of apply at least a little bit of consistency here. I think Nick was right in that we should probably just remove the fake lintel, the painted-on lintel that we have on this facade, and work with making sure the building is structurally sound and all of that stuff.
And the staff endorses the idea of the wash to uniform the color of the brick.
It was mentioned in the report. There wasn't really a recommendation for it. I mean, the brick clearly doesn't match.
No.
So it's something we could test or do a test patch of.
You mean once they take the paint off? Is that what you're...
Yeah, it's, you know...
But there's areas of discoloration.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking to kind of... And we discussed this on site a little bit as to a less invasive option to address the areas that were previously patched by... done by the previous tenant. So, of course, our options are to kind of see if we can patch it a little bit and minimize the appearance and not have to disturb a great deal of brickwork. We are also open, if the architecture committee feels that these need to be corrected, that's an option as well.
So for this elevation, you're proposing a stucco lintel to match?
We technically gave you two options. There are two windows that are wood. The two lower ones are wood, are a decorative wood lintel. And the right upper one is a stucco. So do we match it with the stucco, or do we do all of them in wood?
I don't think your wood lintel is going to meet building code.
It's still, all of these windows have a...
They're all decorative.
But when you insert a piece of wood like this, it's not... The wood is supporting masonry above, and I don't think that meets your building code requirement for new construction.
And then that might all be the conversation of then maybe, because we do have two wood lintels on the lower section here,
yeah.
Should they all be replaced?
Because you see your structure is below where your decorative lintel is, mm-hmm. And so you're going to be structuring the opening but not any of the bricks above, because it's going to be compromised by failure of the wood.
Well, and my concern too is that, the wood will deteriorate.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's so exactly my point.
It's going to be something to replace. Mm-hmm.
Old wood, not so fast. New wood, probably way faster than you'd hope.
Yes. And both of these are new.
So I think that probably, I'm not a big fan of applying a fake stucco lintel at all.
But we do at least have historic document. I mean, over at the very least the 20th century, that had been a condition on this building. We have photo documentation of that. With wood lintels, we don't really have any documentation of that. The only thing that we can say with confidence is that it had concrete structural lintels.
So let me ask you a question. Is the motivation because the building owner wants to do it aesthetically so it's consistent? Because it doesn't sound like it's a structural issue.
I think it's a motivation because it was a violation.
Mm-hmm. We're just trying to...
Without a permit. Mm-hmm. So now we're trying to come back and say...
Okay.
It's really just correct the violation.
What does the staff want to do? And they'll do it.
And when they removed it without a permit, they didn't replace it with anything. That's the concern, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did some of them, like the new wood ones, but I think that's the surface applied. So, yeah, it's all mismatched when they did the metal work.
Would an option here be more or less taking the lintels that are in question and just restoring brick above the metal ledger? We'd end up with an appearance which was mismatched, but we'd be moving in the right direction with openings that you were actually touching.
Great.
Does the staff think that that's...
I think it is.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because everything to the left of these windows are concrete lintels. So I think that's a little more honest with the actual structure of the building to kind of keep the concrete up here and then have these four just be a brick.
And I think that's the guiding principle. It's like not to do new work that misleads the restoration of the building.
And just correct these.
Is there any public comment about this discussion? I see no public comment.
Perhaps the brick could be restored and fixed whenever they rebuild the parapet.
Yeah, that's what that's happening for. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the right. That's
and,
the right
if and if we're removing these two wood ones, then they'll have to be doing corrective work on that brick above it anyway. So I don't think we probably won't have need for any kind of staining to match.
Well, and I think that in this, it would probably be a good idea to work with the staff to look at test patches of mortar and brick type so that you don't go down this road again. Okay, no public comment. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
I don't think so. I think we're pretty comfortable with that.
Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 1200 Decatur Street?
May I request that you make this motion since
sure.
I'm still feeling a little bit
I would like to move in the matter of 1200 Decatur Street that neither the option 1 or 2 be adopted, but that instead the masonry be restored in the position of the lintel above the structural lintel to resemble the French Market side and a more historic condition on the building, and that the applicant work with the staff to provide a sample of mortar and brick before work proceeds.
Before we proceed, I think we may have a public comment.
We asked.
This is me.
I'm sorry?
I'm on this. Not about St. Peter?
No, we're not on that.
No, we haven't gotten that yet.
Oh.
I just... No, you're good.
And if you fill out a comment card, just bring it to me.
He's the applicant.
Oh, okay. Then you don't need to have one of those. Do I have a second for that motion?
Yeah, I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Now we're going to thank you for coming in. 911 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant, sir? You don't need to fill out a card if you're the applicant. You don't need to fill out a card if you're an applicant.
Just have a seat.
No problem. So we're here for 911 St. Peter Street. You're here. Do we have a staff report, please?
911 St. Peter is a green-rated main building and service building with green-rated service building additions. This is an appeal routine skylights installed without benefit of ECC review and approval in conjunction with a roof replacement. Our application materials received February 19, 2024 and May 7, 2024, respectively. The applicant submitted a proposal to replace the rear roof slope of the main building and the slope portions of the service cell roof with natural slate. During review, staff noted that the 5 4-foot by 2-foot skylights present on the rear of the main building were atypical and found that they had been installed without benefit of ECC review and approval. Satellite imagery shows that the bank of 3 skylights closest to Dauphine was installed between January 2004 and September 2005, while the other two appear to have already been in place at that time. A series of poorly executed roof repairs were completed around the skylights in approximately 2011, 2015, and 2018. Staff notes from the satellite imagery that there appears to be a change in roof pitch around the point in the roof where these two individual skylights are located, which might be contributing to the failure of the roof at these locations. The VCC design guidelines state that if a new skylight is approved, it should be installed in a manner that minimizes its visibility from all locations, minimizes changes to existing roof framing, generally with the long dimension running down the roof slope at least 12 inches below the roof ridge, minimizes the number of skylights such that it comprises a maximum amount of 3% of a roof slope and is arranged in an orderly fashion, runs parallel to and no more than 8 inches above the plane of the roof surface, has clear or tinted glazing for a dark exterior appearance, and has the exterior framing painted or colored to match roof material, and does not have a domed, angled, or other raised feature. While calculations for the rear roof slope have not been provided, staff finds that the skylights do meet the other 4 criteria listed in guidelines. Since the guidelines require review and approval by the full commission for the installation of skylights, regardless of building rating, staff requests that the commission, the applicant provide the overall square footage of the rear roof slope prior to the next hearing of the commission on Thursday, 6/20, where retention can be considered further. The roof is currently in a state of severe failure and is extremely urgent that roof repairs be conducted on this property. If the roof has not been tarped, it should be. Staff is also willing to issue a partial permit for repair of the service cell roof, so that work can be initiated before the meeting takes place.
Staff recommends the appeal be forwarded to the commission without a recommendation until the calculations for the rear roof slope are provided to staff. A full roof repair permit will be expedited by staff following commission.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Vincent Vasquez, 4009 Pontchartrain, Slidell, Louisiana, 7458, Shiflet Exteriors. Vincent Vasquez.
Okay, and do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
Okay, so we applied originally. It was a signed estimate December of 2023, and then she received it February 2024. The house, as far as the skylights are concerned, there's a lot of leaking inside the dwelling, and we applied, and then 528, we didn't get put on the docket because I believe it was a misunderstanding by Ms. Aaron, and then we got in here, and the homeowner is just wanting to get this done. And as far as the skylights, we step flash with copper around those, because one of them I think was installed in 1990, and then like the satellite imagery between 2004 and 2006, the other ones. And as far as the square footage, I don't have it, but it's probably like in the rear slope, 1300 probably, 13 square. So it's not gonna be more than, you know.
We'll do the calculation some other time.
So we're just trying to get this. This is the homeowner. It's flooding in the house. And as far as making a repair, I don't know how you're going to be able to come across with the tarp, come across the top and prevent water intrusion because of the underlayment issues with the flashing around the skylight. So this is an issue, and it's just leaking. We're just trying to get this done.
So you had a leaky roof, and you cut four or so holes in the roof in order to... You installed these skylights.
No. Skylights have been in place since...
They have been?
Yes, but
they were done illegally.
Yes. So it's retention of the skylights, but we can't permit repair of the roof and repair around the skylights without the skylights getting retroactive approval.
Okay.
But they've been in place since at least 2005.
And you can't just make... That's not just like, and y'all know, dealing with real slate with copper. You don't just go ahead and just repair it. This is a huge thing. You got to tear it up to the deck, take it back any decking if it needs to, you know, redecking or anything, repair. And then the underlayment has to be the ice and water shield with the synthetic, and then the copper step flashing around the skylight. So this is just a process of not just tarping and just making a quick repair. It has to get replaced as a whole. Because as y'all know, the skylights do, if you don't do them properly,
You don't even know if these skylights are still good or if you're going to have to replace them.
No, they're good because they're good. They're good as far as, and then the flashing around them, we're going to copper flash them, and then we'll install them properly with ice and water shield all around them. And then any sealant that we need, we'll use a tri-built silicone, roof silicone. I mean, we do this. We've done tons of work. You're familiar with us. We do everything, you know, all the real slate, the copper, the whole nine yards. So as far as the leaking and as far as the dwelling will be protected in for the future, it's just right now getting this where we can get this, because if the homeowner at this point, we're just trying, and the storm season's coming, and if it was to have another storm roll through, we're going to have major problems. We're already having major problems.
Right. So basically, the committee needs to decide whether or not these skylights can be retained based on their location, based on type, based on percentage of roof slope that is being taken up with the skylights.
And then we can approve the roof lights.
Well, all skylights require commission review, so it's going to have to go to commission on the 20th, regardless.
Whether we approve.
So the staff recommends that we forward it to the commission without a recommendation, pending completion of the calculations.
Mm-hmm. It meets the other four criteria out of the five listed. So if you wanted to forward a positive recommendation and disregard the calculations, that is definitely within your purview.
I have another suggestion, that if the committee does not have a problem with the skylights, you could base your motion on an approval should the percentage not exceed either what is allowable by the guidelines or something that the committee would find less objection.
I have a question. Is it 3% of the overall roof or just the slope?
Just the slope it's installed in. Yeah. Right. Okay.
You know, I'm not going to make a recommendation for approval here, because I think that if we had the opportunity to review this, we'd have input about the spacing of the things and the placement on the roof at that point of inflection, which makes a horrible technical detail for waterproofing. And so I think this installation appears willful and probably not in the best interest of the historic fabric in the building. But I'd like to ask if there's any public comment before we have much more in the way of discussion. I see no public comment. So, would you like to say anything more or just make a simple recommendation or referral to the full commission?
Yeah, I recommend that we forward this without comment.
Okay. Then, would you like to say anything more before we go to a motion?
Yeah, it's just the leak in the house, so we're trying to protect these historic homes, but it's just...
I'd like to say something after the vote.
Okay. The action we're taking today is to move this to the commission as quickly as possible so you will be able to do the work you need to do to waterproof the house.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So is there a motion in the matter of 911 St. Peter Street?
In the matter of 911 St. Peter Street, I move that we forward this proposal to the commission without recommendation.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
What I would like to say, and you can share this with your client, this is one of the reasons why it's important to get permits, because if this had been proposed to the BCC, then the BCC, the Architecture Committee, could have provided feedback on how to detail it, how to install it, where it would be less appropriate. So although we completely understand that you want to get this watertight, I, not to put too fine a point on it, this is a problem that was created by this property owner. So,
and it was a different owner at the time.
Fine.
Multiple.
That's fine. There's just a point that needs to be made. That this was something that unfortunately happened, and so the delay that's happening is not a result of us not approving it. It's just we've got to go through the process, and it is longer a process when there's something that's done about permits.
Yes, sir. Great. Thanks for coming in today.
So, what's the next process?
You'll get with the
next Thursday.
I'll email you.
Yeah. So, do I come here next Thursday?
I'll email you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Next matter is 833 Conti Street. Do we have an applicant present?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just have a seat and we'll ask for the staff report, please.
So, 833-35 Conti is a yellow rated building. Does it propose to retain hood vent exhaust and sell without benefit of BCC review or approval? Application materials received May 3rd, 2024 and June 5th, 2024. The application was submitted back in May from a new tenant of this space. Although the proposed work was noted as interior only, staff noted that there was an outstanding violation on this property regarding a hood vent exhaust that should be addressed. Staff recommended that the hood vent be moved further towards the center of the roof to greatly reduce or eliminate the visibility from the street. Staff further noted that staff would work with the applicant to allow the business to open while this was being sorted out. Photographs indicate that the vent was installed in late 2016 without benefit of BCC review or approval. This vent was cited in a notice of violation from March 2021. The restaurant has occupied this location for a number of years. However, if the kitchen was previously vented prior to 2016, it was done without the large piece of equipment now visible. Given that this is a large flat roof with a parapet around it, staff recommended that extending the duct a few feet towards the center of the roof would likely greatly reduce or eliminate the visibility and become generally approvable. After some discussion about this option, the property owner provided a letter to the contractor stating that the existing vent cannot be moved because to do so would damage the roof and destroy the exhaust outlet for the restaurant. It would also be a very costly procedure. Coincidentally, according to the Secretary of State's website, the contracting company that provided the letter is owned by the same owner as this property. Staff again notes the recommendation was to simply extend the existing exhaust duct a few feet so that the mushroom hood is more towards the center of the roof. The guidelines state that the installation of rooftop mechanical equipment is not permitted or will be visibly obtrusive. Every effort should be made to shield the equipment from view and minimize associated noise. Given the high amount of visibility, staff recommends a mild proposed retention in the current location with the recommendation that the vent be relocated to reduce or eliminate visibility.
Thank you. I would like to state your name and address and relationship to the property.
Pauline Levy, 832 St. Louis Street in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Are you the owner of the property? Or I asked for your relationship to the property.
I own it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, and you probably already know that.
I didn't know that, actually.
Okay, and it is true that First Choice Restorations is one of my companies. We're licensed by the state of Louisiana as contractors. Here's our license. And I have a from our foreman, Manuel Rodriguez, I have a letter that the vent cannot be moved because it would damage the roof and destroy the exhaust outlet for the restaurant. Now, let's go and review how long that vent's been up there. In 2005, there was a restaurant called the Kettle of Fish that had the vent installed there. In 2013, it was called Jaeger House. The vent was still in operation then. Then following that, it was Cunada. And before that, Bayona's restaurant in 2011 had a cooking school there, so the vent was there. That vent has been there well over 10 years. Now, I have here...
So we're looking at photographs here. And this is 2016. This is timestamp from pictometry. This is our satellite imaging. This is the stamp. It is not there, correct?
Well, I can't help it if you can't see it. It was there because they had a restaurant there.
It's just and, a different
group. You may have taken it from a different... You know, I've gone through this with the city council about Zoom and Google and all the rest of that stuff. I have pictures of this. I also have a copy of every time you all went out there to inspect it. You've done numerous inspections on it, and it was a restaurant. Here, going all the way back to 2005 and even before then. Yes, here's your, all
but
your records.
But that, you can't, I mean, so okay, you're well, saying that...
Let's cut to the chase. I'm not going to remove the vent. It was there before. If I have to go before the city council, I'm going to do it. And I see a lot of other people who have vents. It's 700 block of Bienville.
Okay, so we're talking about your property today. We're not talking about any other property.
This vent is also not code compliant. It's not 10 feet from
the property line.
The property line.
So did you get a mechanical permit?
What?
Did you get a mechanical permit when you installed this vent?
It was installed quite some time ago.
Yeah.
There's
an interior mechanical permit for the hood inside. There is no hood permit.
Well, got it. Okay.
So that what you see there
so
is not
code
compliant.
2016.
So this is another photograph from 2016 where it's not there. And then,
well, it's kind of not. Was there, it had to be there if they had a restaurant there. And they
could have had a vent somewhere else.
No, they had the vent there. That vent was never moved. It was up there.
They could have had a vent up there, but it wasn't a mushroom style vent.
It's the same vent.
Okay. Well,
you all have already made up your mind on this anyway. Why are you putting it through this? Just go do it. I'm going to take my appeals, and hopefully, somewhere along the line, we're going to get to the bottom of the real parade commission on all of this stuff. Persecuting people.
It's not
good. It's very difficult to respond to that, but I'm going to ask if there's any public comment on the matter of 843 Conti Street. I don't see any public comment. Is there anything you'd like to say before we go to
I think this is selective enforcement. A lot of people have their vents. You've done nothing, and you all have continually picked on me. And frankly, I'm getting sick and tired of it. And there's an election coming up.
I'm going to be very vocal
during that election.
Is there
regarding the vehicle rate commission?
Is there a motion in the matter of 833 Conti Street?
I move in the matter of 833 Conti Street to deny retention in the current location.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. You have the right to appeal this to the full commission for a public hearing.
Yes.
Okay. We'll be in touch with the staff to set up that appeal.
We will do that.
Thank you very much for coming in today. Mm-hmm. Next item on the agenda is... 520 Burgundy Street. Do we have an applicant present? I don't see an applicant for 520 Burgundy Street.
They're here. 520 Burgundy. Max.
Goodness gracious.
Come on.
Yeah, come on up. Okay. Do we have a staff report, please,
sure.
for
520 Burgundy? It is a green-rated main building with a green-rated rear addition. Is it proposed to retain parapet cap flashing installed with deviation of approved work? Application materials received May 17, 2024. Permitted work on this property has been completed, and the building has been much improved from its previous state of neglect. During final inspection of the property, staff noted that cap flashing had been installed on the rear existing parapet in deviation of the approved plans and the permit, which stated metal cap flashing on the parapets or chimneys is not allowed. The applicant is proposing to retain the cap flashing as installed. The applicant noted that the plans were drawn with the existing water cap to remain, and that the general contractor elected to install the cap. The owner of the property noted that six of his seven neighbors all have cap flashing. The applicant provided an as-built sketch of the cap flashing, which clearly shows that the detailing of the top of the masonry wall has been hidden by the metal. Before and after photographs of this wall also show this concealed detail. As the guidelines generally prohibit the addition of any elements that conceal historic building details, and the general prohibition of cap flashing in most cases, staff recommends a novel proposed retention with the applicant to propose a revised detail that would expose the masonry detail.
Thank you. We'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please.
520 Burgundy, agent for the owner.
You're the owner?
Sorry?
You're the owner?
I'm an agent for the company.
Agent for the company. And say your name again?
Max Bro.
Max Bro?
Bro.
Thanks. And?
Catherine Harmon, Rockwood Harmon, Architects, 6238.
Do you have a presentation or response to staff report that you'd like to share with us?
I'd just like to say that Max has clearly saved this building from demolition by neglect, and it looks great, and he's done a great job restoring it. This rear wall on the rear addition, Green Ring, is out of sight. And I didn't draw the cap flashing, but I see why they put the cap flashing on, because it does keep water out. I won't go into detail, but we all know that cap flashing keeps water out. I think the venial sin of cap flashing in the big picture of this should be forgiven. It's an eyesight wall. It's a dated wall. It is in the back. Picture of the renovation, the saving of this building that was falling down.
Thank you. Would you like to add anything? I guess the only question I have is the slide 167 clearly shows, you know, metal cap flashing on parapets or chimneys is not allowed as one of the bullet points in the permit. So I'm just wondering why you didn't seek guidance from the commission before you installed the parapet cap.
Thought it was the best solution.
And did they follow commission guidelines for everything else?
Yes.
And why did they choose not to do it this time? I mean, you just kind of...
We have slapped the hand, and he just did it, you know, the contractor just did it. I didn't draw it that way.
I don't think they read the permit, because that says 12 by 24 natural slate gray, and that's not gray slate on that roof.
So this is
on... I drew it just existing mortar cap.
No, on the permit.
Oh, on the permit.
Yeah, on the actual language of the permit.
Where is it on the building?
It's on the rear. What, the cap flashing?
Yeah.
All the way in the back.
So it's not on the main building.
No.
Gotcha. It's on a later
wall.
It's on
this
a later.
Is a separate addition.
Yeah, it's a later addition. Yeah.
Well,
I
think that we have a couple different things here. And first, I appreciate the effort you've made to put this building back together. And so we're not really in any way trying to re-examine that. But, you know, I think that this could be used as a example of why I want to look at slide 171. This is an example of why the commission guidelines prohibit the use of cap flashing. That is, in my opinion, a horrible piece of sheet metal work. I mean, it's just bad craftsmanship. And instead of, you know, chastising your contractor, you should have said, take it off and seek the guidance of the commission if you want to do something else. But don't accept this work. This is not acceptable work. You've done a beautiful job on the rest of the property. Why are you accepting this work?
Fortunately, it's not how it works in reality. So,
on my job sites, that's the way it works.
That's not how it works in reality, right? So the person who's going to bear the cost and change it would be myself. So maybe thousands of dollars to change it. No one even knew it was a problem until the final inspection for the VCC anyway.
But your roofer didn't read the permit, so I think you have a leg to stand on.
There's no recourse. You can't do anything. Just because someone did something wrong doesn't mean you can have recourse on it.
So what you're pleading is a hardship. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's going to be. I mean, I'm used to it at this point, but yes.
The hardship being that you can't get your contractor to do the work and you're going to have to bear the cost of repairing it.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I don't think this committee looks at architectural matters, and there's a clear mismatch between what was approved by the commission and what was actually installed. And so, I mean, I think the only thing we can do is refer this to the full commission and ask them to consider your hardship. But I don't want to take a... I'm a little bit flabbergasted by your passivity here. I mean, you did good work, and you have accepted bad work. So I don't understand why you're passive in this matter. But before we go much further, I'm going to ask if there's any public comment in this matter. I see no public comment. Would you like to say something else before we go to a motion?
Yes. I'm passive because I've totally capitulated on this project.
Well, I'd like to comment.
What does that mean?
I have totally been demoralized. I'm completely capitulating. So I've learned my lesson.
Well, and I just wanted to say, for the record, for the recording, for anybody in the audience, based on a lot of the comments that were made today, the importance of getting permits and following them, because, you know, obviously everything sets a precedent. Everything is, you know, may not be visible from the street, but probably visible from another location, and another applicant will say, well, you let somebody else do it. And so that's why it's important that people get permits, and that's why it's important that they follow them. So, thank you.
Okay, we have no public comment. Is there a motion in the matter of 520 Burgundy Street?
I move in the matter of 920 Burgundy Street that we, 520 Burgundy Street, that we deny retention of the cap flashing.
If we make this denial, then you have a right to appeal it to the full commission and present your hardship. So I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Please work with the staff to mount an appeal if you choose to present your hardship.
It's next week, next Thursday. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
Thanks. Next and last item on this agenda is, let's see, 411 Burgundy Street. We have an applicant present. We have the staff report, please.
Sure. 411 Burgundy is a green-rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to retain and modify the mechanical equipment installed without benefit of ECC review or approval. Applications and materials received May 22nd, 2024. A new owner of this property has been working with staff to address various previously cited violations. Much of this work is staff approval, and the violations related to mechanical equipment are in need of architecture committee approval. Three different pieces of mechanical equipment have been installed on this property, each one a little different. The first unit is a mini-split condensing unit mounted in a loggia space. This unit is relatively compact and has virtually no visibility except from within the actual loggia space. Although not ideal to be wall-mounted to the building, staff finds this unit approvable for the guidelines. The second is also a mini-split condensing unit, but this one is installed in a small third-floor window on the rear of the main building. Staff suspects that a window was removed in order to complete this installation. There is some limited visibility of this unit from within the courtyard and likely from a neighboring property. In order to reduce this visibility, the applicant is proposing to install louvered shutters in its opening. Staff believes the installation of louvered shutters would improve both the visibility of this equipment as well as offer some protection for this opening to wind-driven rain or other weather. However, staff is also concerned about this style of installation and possibly setting a bad precedent. An alternative option may be to wall-mount this unit to the rear of the main building above the service cell and requiring that the previously existing window be replaced to match. The last unit was installed on a makeshift rack on the rear of the main building. Staff discussed with the applicant the preference for this unit to be relocated to being off the building. The applicant proposes to relocate this unit to a new low and independent mechanical rack in the courtyard. The new mechanical rack is only 18 inches high, and this location is much more in keeping with the recommendations of the guidelines. There may be some visibility of the condenser in this location when looking down the carriageway, and a small section of screening may be considered. Staff finds the proposed new location approvable and noted that the existing rack should be removed and any damage to the masonry repaired. In summary, staff recommends approval of the proposed retention or modifications of the noted first and last unit and requests commentary from the Architecture Committee regarding the proposed retention of the third floor unit and installation of wood shutters.
Great. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please? Your name and address.
Oh, my name is Lena Alcacer. You are kind of speaking a little low for me.
I'm sorry.
Lena Alcacer, 4909 Toby Lane, Kenner, Louisiana.
And are you the owner of the property?
Yeah, I bought the property in July of 22, not knowing about any violations. Didn't even know about that.
Well, thanks for working with the staff to correct these, the ones that need to be corrected.
Yes.
I think the only one that we're really talking about today is the one that's mounted in the window on the third floor.
Yes.
And you heard the staff recommendation. Do you think that you can work with the staff to relocate this unit? I mean, when I look at this, I'm worried that water is going to come in the building.
I can't hear you.
I'm worried that water is going to come in the building.
Okay.
Because the window's gone.
Right.
Can you work with staff to relocate this unit?
And where?
We're recommending that it be relocated.
Where would we relocate it to?
Down this wall, so it would be so it's more disguised by this roof slope.
Okay.
And then a new window would have to be installed in that opening, the one that's removed.
Okay. So move it underneath the balcony?
No. On the brick wall farther down, above the roof.
I can put it on the brick wall. Okay.
Well, that's what we're suggesting, so it would be less visible.
Take it outside, okay.
Yeah. But
we'll do that at staff.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. Is there any public comment on this matter before we kind of get to the meat of this? Can I just keep talking?
Please.
I think that a deferral is appropriate in this matter to allow you to kind of figure this last unit out. It sounds like you're willing to work with the staff.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to clear up the violation.
Sure.
Yeah. Then I think that what we're going to do...
Just guide me.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing that. So I think that what we're going to do is take a deferral, and then if you can work it out at the staff level, you won't have to come back here.
Okay.
Okay? So do I have a motion in the matter of 411 Burgundy Street?
In the matter of 411 Burgundy Street, I move for deferral of the inset... split unit.
And retention of the other two.
And retention of the other two.
Great.
With staff guidance.
And if they are able to come up with a solution for that third floor unit, they can work it out at the staff level and not return to this committee. In that case, I will second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for sitting through the meeting, and thank you for working with the staff.
With Nick,
I appreciate it.
That brings us
to the end of our agenda. Next meeting is Tuesday, June 25th. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.